1 Corinthians chapter 15. Once again, looking into the Word of God. For insights and refreshing on the significant events of this Easter Sunday. Paul writes here many years after the resurrection to the church at Corinth these words. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, the good news which I preached unto you, which also ye have received and wherein ye stand. By which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures. Now before we read any further, let's make sure to certify this truth. Jesus did not die for his own sins. Isaiah 53 tells us, looking forward 750 years to the coming of the Son of God, that he was not bruised for his own transgressions, but he was bruised for our iniquities. It was our sins that put him there. The fact is that when he was born without sin. And the way he could be born without sin is because he had no earthly father. In God's economy, sin passes from the father to the child. And this is why all who are born in normal manner, that is with normal conception and normal birth, normal pattern of bringing forth children into the world, we're all born with Adam's seed in us. And before we have an opportunity to do anything right or wrong, see, most folks do not understand that the sin issue is not so much a matter of what we do or do not do. We've been raised on a bunch of thou shalts and thou shalt nots, and we've rebelled against the thou shalts, and we've rebelled against the thou shalt nots, and we say we don't like that because that intimidates us and it infringes upon our freedom and it denies me the right to do the things that I want to do. But sin is not an issue of what we do or don't do. Sin is an issue of what we are. It's what we are. And we are sinners by birth. David said, in sin did my mother conceive me. Before a child has any opportunity to do anything right or wrong, that child at birth is a sinner in need of a Savior because it is the seed of Adam that is in him. And this is why the virgin birth is such a critical issue, and why the devil fights that truth with such vehemence. Because if he can persuade someone to believe that Jesus was not born of a virgin, with God the Father by the power of the Holy Spirit as the actual, literal Father, this is why he is called the Son of God and the Son of Man. He's the Son of God, he's the Son of Mary. And so he is fully divine, fully God, and he is fully human. Totally in every respect, with one exception. He is as Adam when Adam was created in that sense, that he was created sinless, spotless, without fault. Were it not so, his blood would have been contaminated. His blood would not have been. How can a sinner make a sacrifice for another sinner? The Bible tells us that Man could not do anything to help himself. And so God with his own arm brought salvation. And his arm is represented, his strength is represented in the person of the man, the Lord Jesus. And so when he came into the world, he came in without fault, without sin, without stain, without spot. And when he went to that cross on that Good Friday, and that was a Good Friday, it was good for us. It was good for him too in the sense that he draws a family to himself in spite of the agony and the passion that he experienced that day. When he went to that cross, he went there sinless, stainless, faultless. And when his blood was shed, it was that blood that washed away the stain of your sin and my sin. And so, while we celebrate his resurrection today, let's know, first of all, why the resurrection became necessary. Because he actually died. He did not go to sleep. He did not swoon. He actually died. We read earlier at the beginning of the service where they laid him in a tomb, sealed it, where they put dead people. I delivered unto you, Paul said, first of all, primarily and foremost, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. And when he died, and when his blood was shed, and when the price was paid, you need to know and understand and believe and receive the fact that all of the sins that you have done, either the things you did or did not do, which were sinful, have been washed away in God's eyes by his shed blood. But more than that, more significant than that, suppose that the blood of Jesus had cleansed us from all of our sinful deeds, and that was all, we would still be sinners. And do you know what we would do as sinners? We would do sin. Because that's what sinners do. Sinners do sin. If you, this past week, I've been working in a small orchard that I have planted on our property. And I was reminded once again that, and I've used this analogy many times, and those of you who have heard it, perhaps you'll bear with me while I use it again, and that is, if you want peaches, you do not plant blackberry bushes. If you want peaches, you plant peach trees. And if you want Hail Haven peaches, you plant a Hail Haven peach tree. Because what a tree is determines the fruit that comes from it. And a sinner tree produces sin. A sinner tree can't help it. Do you know those peach trees I have in my orchard? If one peach tree said to the other one, you know, this year I think we'll produce pecans. There's not a snowball's chance in you know where of either one of those trees ever producing a single pecan, let alone a crop, because it's not in them. What's in them is peaches, hopefully. Now, a sinner tree produces sins. A righteousness tree produces righteousness. Yes, oh, Pastor Vic, I know some righteousness trees that produce some sin. Yeah, you can get a rotten peach here and there. But as a practice, what you will get is righteousness from a righteousness tree. When Jesus died and shed his blood, that blood took care of the nature of the tree. And for that reason, Paul writes the Corinthians in his second letter, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. He's a different species of being. He's no longer a sinner tree. He's a saved tree. He's a righteousness tree. And the fruit that comes out of his life will be different. Amen. Jesus changes our nature from the inside out, and he gives us the capacity and the power to live differently. Yes, he paid the price for our sins. Yes, he died for our sins, but he also died for our nature. Verse 4 continues, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. Now, there are those that would like to believe that Jesus never rose from the dead. We're going to see in just a little bit, if Jesus never rose from the dead, if he was born of the Virgin, if he died for our sins, if his blood is an efficacious treatment for the nature and the character of sin, if he didn't raise from the dead, it's all wasted. It's all wasted. It's useless. Because if he did not rise from the dead, then death is more powerful than life. And if death is more powerful than life, then sin is more powerful than righteousness. For the wages of sin is death. Death is the expression of the result of sin. Jesus died. When he took our sins upon him, he was buried, and he rose again. I read you the passage at the beginning of the service, how the Jewish religious leaders of that day went to Pilate and said, give us some soldiers and set a guard over the sepulcher here, over his grave, lest some of his followers, they'll come. You know, he said he was going to be raised from the dead 3 days after his death, and some of his disciples, they'll come and they'll steal his body away and they'll go bury him somewhere and hide it, and then they'll make him this great big hero, and we'll have a bigger problem than we had before we killed him. So let's set a guard. And Pilate said, you have your own soldiers, set your own guard, which they did. You know what happened to them? We read the story. What happened to them is when the power of God came in the presence of the angel, they fell backwards like dead men. Because nothing was going to prevent or stop or hinder the resurrection of Jesus and his victory over death. In fact, Paul writes as testimony, verse 5, that he was seen of Cephas. Who is that? Cephas? Peter. He was seen by Peter, then of the 12, his disciples. After that, he was seen of over 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present. Some are already passed away, but most of the in excess of 500 people who saw him in his resurrection body are still alive and still giving testimony years after his resurrection. After that, he was seen of James, then of all the apostles, and last of all, he was seen of me also, as one born out of due time. I saw him too, and this is my written testimony to you, that this Jesus is a living person. He was dead, but he is no longer dead. Now jump down to the 12th verse. Now if Christ be preached, oh, thank you, Jesus, that he rose from the dead. How say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? Let's face it. This is wild. This is really wild stuff. That a person could die and live again, and that he could do it after 3 days. You know, we hear stories today occasionally of somebody dying, they're pronounced dead, but then a few minutes later they'll come back to life. Occasionally that happens, where all vital signs stop, but then the person returns. This is 3 days. We know that Lazarus was in the grave 4 days, and we know what condition he was in. When he came out of the grave, he smelled. In fact, his sisters were not too sure that they wanted Jesus to really do anything because they said, after all, he's been in the grave 4 days. He's stinking. So what do you suppose Jesus would have? I hope this doesn't sound crude to you, but these are the realities of reality. I don't want to be around a body after 3 days. Do you? 3 days later, he comes out of this grave. Now, if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? It is a lot easier to say that the resurrection of the dead is a fairy tale, it is a myth, it is something that you would see on the cartoon channel, or that you would see in a science fiction film. But it's not reality. Paul said, but if there be no resurrection of the dead, then Jesus isn't risen. For if the dead do not rise, then Jesus didn't rise. And if Christ be not risen, verse 14, then is our preaching vain, empty, and useless, and also, not our preaching only, but your faith is also vain, empty, and useless. Beyond that, yea, we are found then false witnesses of God, because we have testified that he raised up Christ, whom he didn't raise up, if so be that the dead don't rise. So if there's no resurrection, then Jesus didn't rise from the dead. If Jesus didn't rise from the dead, then we are false preachers. And I say to you today, if Jesus didn't rise from the dead, I'm a false preacher, a false teacher, a false prophet, and a false testifier of the realities of these things. But I'm telling you this. I have staked my eternal future on the fact, the reality of the resurrection of Jesus. Now, why would I do that? Why would I do that? Because some preacher one day persuaded me with sound reasoning and based on his powerful reasoning, I decided that, yes, I would. I would just believe this. And I would base my life and my entire future on this fact. No. Maybe a good reason to do that, but I don't know. I didn't. You say, well, Pastor Vic, why would you stake everything? Everything. Do you understand what I mean by everything? I stake my wife. I stake my sons. I stake their sons, their families. I stake my finances. I stake my health. I stake my very life and all eternity. You say, well, Pastor Vic, what else is there for a reasonable person? Well, I tell you what else there is. Eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die, and that's the end. And that's the way a lot of folks are living. I have decided to stake my entire future on this man Jesus and on the reality of his resurrection. Do you know why? Because I know that I know that I know that I know that he's alive today. How do I know he's alive? He lives in here. He lives in here. Well, Pastor Vic, you just grew up religious and you just kind of accepted that. No. No. No, I did grow up religious. But that wasn't enough to make me come to this decision. I came to this decision because he made himself real to me. He revealed himself to me, and I know that I know that I know that he's alive. If he's alive, he's no longer dead. And if he's no longer dead, then he is risen from the dead and he's defeated death. I don't want to die. I mean, that's not something really that I anticipate dying. I mean, it's likely to happen. If he doesn't come before I die, I'm going to die. So what's the next best thing? If I know I'm going to have to go into death, what would be the next best thing that I could hope for? That I could get resurrected, hallelujah! And I can, and I will, and I shall. And so will you. If you've made the decision that I've made. So, well, Pastor Vic, you're a preacher. We would expect you. I made this decision long before I became a preacher. I became a preacher because I experienced something that I know is true. Why did Paul write this letter? He wrote this letter because he says, I have received what I'm delivering to you. I have received this personally. I know this. I know this. And I'm delivering it to you. If the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. Now watch verse 17. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain, ye are yet in your sins. Now let's talk about that just a minute. If Jesus did not rise from the dead, Paul said, we are still in our sins. Now how could that be if the blood of Jesus has cleansed us from our sins? How could we still be in our sins? Let me explain it to you this way. When I asked you before what the wages of sin were, what's the payoff for sin? You said death, all right? So what happened to Jesus on the cross? He died. All he did was pay the wages. You understand? He paid the wages. But he didn't set you free from it. Because death is still the permanent victor. Are you listening? If Jesus is still in the grave, death is the ultimate conqueror. But he's not in the grave. He's risen from the grave, which is evidence that death has been defeated. If death has been defeated, then sin has been defeated, the power of it. Sin is not like, let's see, this example is coming to me. Let me see if I can share it this way. When your gas tank is empty, you go to the gas station, you get more gas. Sins are like that. You can get your sins forgiven. I'm so sorry for what I have done. I'm sorry for bingada 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 sum sum, you know, and you run out of fingers and you go to toes and you say, oh, I'm sorry, Lord, please forgive me. Do you know what he does? He forgives you. But then you know what we do? We go to the gas station and we pick up some more. We get some more sins. Forgiveness for sins is not what we need. What we need is a change of nature and a change of character. And that is what the resurrection does. The cross buys the forgiveness for the sins. The resurrection provides victory for the sinner. You listening to what I'm saying? And if there is no resurrection, then there is no power to change a person. You may be sitting here today and you're saying, I've tried to do all the things that I hear church people talk about doing, but I just can't do it. I've tried, but I've just given up on that. I've heard that many, many times in my lifetime. And my answer to you would be, if you said that to me, I would say, I know. You can't. You need a new life. You need a change of nature. You need a change of your basic nature on the inside. You need to rip up that old thornberry and plant a peach tree in your heart, in that sense. And that's what the resurrection guarantees. Whether you are 50 years old or 5 years old or anywhere in between, you need Jesus. Well, how do I participate? How do I do this? How do I get this changed life, this changed nature? You get it by surrender. Everybody say surrender. You know what surrender is? I surrender all. I surrender all. All to Thee, my precious Savior, I surrender all. Well, how about if I surrender a little? No. All. You know, when you die, I've never seen a dead person. I've seen a lot of dead people in coffins, but I've never seen a dead person with a live hand. I've never seen a dead person with a live nose or eyes. I've looked at many dead people, but I've never seen one look back at me. Because when you die, you completely die. Everything. It's surrender. Paul goes on to say here, then they which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished if there's no resurrection. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. But now is Christ risen from the dead. He actually is, and he's become the first fruits of them that slept or that died. He is the first person raised from the dead, but not the last. For since by man came death, that is in Adam, by man came also the resurrection of the dead, that is in Jesus. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. Every man in his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterward they that are Christ at his coming. So Pastor Vic, what would you do if you were me? Well, it depends on what your condition is. If your condition is saved, if your condition is, I have received the Lord Jesus into my heart, I have made him the Lord of my life, I have declared him to be the King of all that I am, then I would say, if you ask me then, what should I do? Then my answer is, worship him, praise him, adore him, glorify him, magnify him, give him the praise and the honor and the glory that is due him for what he's done. If on the other hand, if you are one who is unsaved, if you have never given your life to the Lord, I surrender, Lord. Please come into my heart and save me. Forgive my sins. But more than that, change me from the inside and make me after your image. And that's what I would suggest you do. More than suggest, I would beseech you to do it. I would urge you to do it. If I had the power, I would make you do it. Because afterwards you would say, oh, you couldn't hug me enough. You'd say, oh, Pastor Vic, I'm so glad you did that. I'm so happy that you did that. But I don't have the power to make you. And the Lord does not have the power to make you. You say, he can do everything and anything. He can do anything and everything except what he said he will not do. That he cannot do. And what he cannot do is force anyone to make that kind of decision. Let's have everybody pray, please. Everybody's head bowed. All eyes are closed. If you're here today and you do not know Jesus as your Savior and as your Lord, my prayer is that you would hear Him calling you as I have been declaring the truth today. That you would sense the presence of the Holy Spirit wooing you, drawing you, calling you to Jesus. And if that's the case and you have a desire to become a part of the family of God, to become a child of God, to be once and for all done with this seed that is in you from Adam, if you would decide that today is the day to become a new person in Jesus and to allow His resurrection power to come into your life and drive out the old nature and make you new from the inside out, I'm going to give you an opportunity to do that right now. You do it with your mouth. You cannot feed enough poor people. You can't teach enough Sunday school classes. You cannot give enough money to pay for this because it's a free gift. Granted by God because He loves you. It's given by Him because He passionately desires to have a relationship with you. And so with your mouth, you declare what you believe in your heart. You surrender your life to the Lord and you invite Him to come in. And He comes in by His Spirit and lives inside your heart. Now, on the possibility that there may be someone here today that wants to do this, I'm going to ask us all to pray out loud, everybody in the auditorium today. I want you to pray with me this prayer. And if you're not saved and you pray this along with me and you mean it, this would be the most important day in your life and the best thing that ever happened to you. Pray like this with me, everybody. Dear God, I believe that Jesus is your Son. I believe He was born sinless. I believe on the cross He took my sin upon Him. And He died in my place, paying the wages of my sin. I believe that after He spent 3 days in the grave, He rose again. I believe in a literal resurrection. I believe He's alive today. I see Him in the lives of other people. I can't see Him with my natural eyes, but I can see Him with my mind's eye. I know I'm a sinner, and I know I need forgiveness, and I know I need to be saved. I don't want to spend eternity in hell. I want to spend it with You. So now I give my heart. I surrender my all to You, Lord God. And Jesus, I open the door of my heart and I ask You to come in. Change me, forgive me, save me, and live inside me that I may bring You glory and honor all the days of my life. And when death takes me, I will spend forever with you. Now, Jesus, I thank you because I believe that your word is true. I thank you for what you've done. I asked, I believe you did. Thank you for your forgiveness. Thank you for your new life. Thank you for all that you've made me. Now help me grow as a newborn baby, spiritually. Help me grow. In Jesus' name. Amen.